Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live, of course, from the InfoWars headquarters. We got a very big show for you today. A lot of big stories to cover. A lot of fun videos to get to. It's going to be a fun Friday afternoon show here. We're going to be joined by Tayana Sekic. Tayana Sekic. I practiced over and over before the show. I swore I'd get it right. She's fantastic. And we're going to talk a lot about Canada and the UK, really the Anglosphere, Australia, Canada, the UK, and a lot of the rest of Europe, because they're clearly rolling out the control grid. And we have a chance to stop it here in America. We just have to be aware of it, cognizant of it, and fighting back against it with everything we've got. Very excited to talk to her. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 5th of December, 2025. Suspect in D.C. pipe bomb case said to have confessed in interviews with investigators, AP sources say. The man accused of planting a pair of pipe bombs outside the headquarters of the Republican and Democratic National Parties in Washington on the eve of the U.S. Capitol attack confessed to the act during an hours-long interview with investigators. Two people familiar with the matter told the Associated Press. Brian Cole Jr. spoke to law enforcement officers for more than 4 hours after his arrest. A federal prosecutor, Charles Jones, said Friday during Cole's initial court appearance. That court appearance has happened. And my questions have multiplied. I have about 25 questions about this event that are, as of yet, unanswered. And we'll go through those a little bit later. Meanwhile, CDC Vaccine Committee ends recommendation that all newborns receive hepatitis B shot. Yesterday, we covered that they were considering this. They have voted and decided to end the hepatitis B shots. We'll cover that more later. Very good and obvious decision. Now it gets really exciting because now we get to see the effects of removing the hepatitis B shot, and we get to see if, I don't know, things like the rates of autism go down. Won't that be exciting? I think that was at least part of the reason why they didn't want it to end. They don't want that type of data getting out there. Meanwhile, Trump administration says Europe faces civilizational erasure. Yeah. I mean, it's already like half erased. He's exactly right. President Donald Trump's administration has warned that Europe faces civilizational erasure and questioned whether certain nations can remain reliable on allies, in a new strategy document that puts particular focus on the continent. The 33-page national security strategy sees the U.S. leader outline his vision for the world and how he would wield U.S. military and economic power to work towards it. Yeah, very good to see. Exactly what we've been calling for the entire time. Using the power of America to actually progress American interests, those being things like free speech or the continuing existence of Europe. Meanwhile, grand jury transcripts from abandoned Epstein investigation in Florida have been ordered to be released on Friday. U.S. District Judge Rodney Smith ordered the federal court in Florida to release grand jury transcripts in the Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell sex trafficking cases. The Epstein Files Transparency Act, signed last month by President Donald Trump, overrides the federal rule prohibiting release of matters before a grand jury. Justice Department filings show requests to unseal documents from the 2006-2007 Florida grand jury investigation, Epstein's 2019 New York sex trafficking case, and Ghislaine Maxwell's 2021 sex trafficking case, with Audrey Strauss announcing Maxwell's charges in July 2020. Ghislaine Maxwell might actually be a stick in the spokes of this operation, since she is claiming that the release of the information would prevent her appeals that she's making to her charges. So we'll see if anything comes of this, but the release has been ordered. Now time for the redactments, I suppose. Finally, we have this. Two-tier justice on full display. Virginia grand jury refuses to re-indict Letitia James. On December 4th, 2025, a federal grand jury in Virginia declined to indict Letitia James a second time in her mortgage fraud case. This marks the second time prosecutors have failed to move charges against her forward in recent weeks. James celebrated on Twitter and X with staggering hypocrisy, claiming, "As I've said from the start, these charges are baseless. It's time for the weaponization of our justice system to stop." Yes, folks, the hypocrisy, it's really the least of it, but it is enough to make you choke. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. You're running out of time, folks, but there is still time left to get your Christmas shopping done at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. You know what for. You know what's there. Do I even have to say it? It's BOGO subs. I have to say it. I'm not going to stop saying it. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
We have a new product in. and thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It's a Friday show. We had a tradition on American Journal. Try to start every Friday show with something a little humorous, something a little funny. I'm going to go to clip 32 here. We're going to bring it back. It was easier last year. You know, last year and the years before. You know, we never went a week without Joe Biden doing something hilarious to embarrass himself and the nation. So usually we just played something like that. And it was because it's Friday. We're going into the weekend. Yes, the world is being torn apart by a cabal of psychopaths. But if we can't laugh at that fact, then what's all this for? After all, we're not fighting because we hate these people. We're fighting because we love life and want to see it unencumbered by their machinations. So I want to go to this video. It's just perfect. It's the cartoon form of my frustrations. It's like somebody went in to my head and pulled out this this creation. It's, of course, Seamus, our friend from Freedom Tunes, clip 32. The levers of power. Isn't it wonderful that the Republicans now have the levers of power? Why do the levers do the things they do? Let's watch.
Well, it was a long and difficult campaign, but we won. The right has finally taken control over the levers of power.
Behold, everything our system is capable of doing condensed into a single machine which controls all of it.
Time to begin our difficult work. What does this lever do?
Drops 40,000 Somalians in your neighborhood.
Oh, won't be pulling that. What about this one?
That one also drops 40,000 Somalians in your neighborhood.
What about this one?
That one? Let me look at this. So that drops 40,000 Somalians in your neighborhood. And this one...
Does it drop another 40,000 Somalians in my neighborhood?
No. That one drops Afghanis in your neighborhood.
What is it? Is this a joke?
What?
What about this? What does this lever do?
Yeah, man, that just dropped 40,000 Somalians in your neighborhood.
You're telling me all the system does is drop 40,000 Somalians in my neighborhood?
Well, where else is it supposed to put them, Jason? Come on. Let's be adults here.
Why does it have to put them anywhere?
Because that's what our noble founders intended. Infinite Somalians in Jason's neighborhood!
No, it isn't.
Well, then they were slave owners and I hate them.
Can you just tell me which lever sends them back?
Back?
Yes, whichever lever sends them back.
Why would you want to send them back?
They aren't supposed to be here. They cost us billions, and everyone voted to send them back. Now, which lever does that?
That one.
Oh. Now, I was getting worried there wouldn't be one. Yes! We did it!
You monster! I can't believe you sent one back!
One?
Oh, yeah, that's not allowed. He's coming back.
It sent none back.
You have to laugh. It's funny because it's true. Fantastic stuff from Freedom Tunes. Make sure you're following Seamus at Freedom Tunes on X. It's, the Somalis are going to be a topic of discussion again today. As the true scale of their scams are truly unimaginable. It was a $1 billion scam previously. As of today, it's up to $8 billion. That's just one of their scams. I'm not even sure which one. I think it's the Feeding Our Future scam, but there are so many, it's hard to even tell. And isn't that something? You know, it's like, do you know that the Biden administration spent $14 billion settling Afghans in this country? $14 billion. Now, when Trump wanted $6 for the wall, it was impossible. Couldn't do it. Endless delays, endless negotiations. It gets whittled down to pretty much nothing. The money's not there. But then when it's time to settle Afghans, after having fled that country, leaving like $1 trillion worth of equipment over there, somehow we have the spare change of $14 billion, no questions asked, no debate, no negotiations whatsoever. It's just spent without anybody even being aware of it until several years later. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? It's almost like it's on purpose. I got one more video to show you before we, hit the real disturbing stuff. And folks, I was telling you yesterday, it started out, it began on this show as an obscure and frankly mildly irritating phrase. It is sweeping X by storm. You know what I'm talking about. It's BOGO subs. BOGO, buy one, get one, subs, supplements. It's the hottest thing. All the kids are saying it. They're all doing it. 12 days of Christmas sale. BOGO subs at thealexjonesstore.com. All jokes aside, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get buy one, get one free on all supplements. Buy any supplement, get any other supplement free. We have new supplements coming out almost daily at this point. We just released the Ultra DNA Revival. Now we have the creatine gummies. Of course, our creatine powder has been hugely successful. You can now get it in gummy form, but supplies are extremely limited, so make sure to get yours before they sell out. Our creatine gummies offer the same clean power, energy, strength, and support, just in gummy form. You get 35% off if you buy one, or 30% off rather, if you get one bottle, 35% off if you get two bottles, 40% off if you buy three bottles. So the more you buy, the more you save. Plus, it's BOGO subs. Plus, right now is the last day to be entered to win both of the trucks. So you get 50 times entries for every dollar you spend. And today is the last day where you will be entered automatically to win one of two or both of these trucks, the 2025 Jeep 392 and the 2025 Ford Raptor, both incredible cars. You could win both, but you got to go now to thealexjonesstore.com. Plus $10,000 cash to whoever wins those trucks. It's got to be somebody, right? Might as well be you. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, again, it has been very funny to see people take this phrase, BOGO subs, and run wild with it. Of course, Wars of the Info, one of our great content creators and commercial crafters out of AI, threw this together after the show yesterday. It's me skateboarding, which you'll never see in real life. You will never see me skateboard in real life ever. So enjoy it. BOGO subs. Let's watch.
Yo, they call me Harry S. I'm always looking fresh. It's the InfoWars tribe, and you know we on the quest. We out here kicking truth, cause all of y'all need the facts about the globalists and the whack Democrats. Get yourself some subs, a t-shirt or a hat. The Alex Jones Store, yo, that's where it's at. I'm Audi 5000, peace to all your crews. Now back to the desk, cause I got some breaking news. Focus up, y'all know what to do, yo.
Awesome stuff. Go follow at Wars of the Info for that type of content, that level of creativity. He really whips those things up quick. Okay, support us, thealexjonesstore.com, please. All right, let's talk about what's going on with this pipe bomber. We got I have a lot of questions still. I went over just some of them yesterday, and then I was hearing Alex today talk about more questions that he has. They're sort of multiplying. Nothing about this is making any sense. Nobody's buying it. You know, the FBI at least used to be good at cover-ups. I mean, they were treasonous. They interfered in the election. They were running scams behind the scenes to try to upset the will of the voters. We get all of that. But at least, you know, at least when the rubber hit the road and it was time for them to cover up the actions of the deep state, at least they came out with a clear and convincing story with a eligible patsy. I mean, Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, they're being hung out to dry. They don't know all the old tricks. And I'm only half being facetious. Like, it really seems almost deliberate how badly this is going for them? I mean, the first question, obviously, would be the one I brought up yesterday. Why now? Why after 5 years of nothing? Zip. Nada. We got no data, no information, no new videos, no nothing for 5 years until about 1 week after Steve Baker and the Blaze claimed to have identified the pipe bomber as being somebody associated with the Capitol Police and the CIA. And only a week later, a week after that, Kash Patel comes out and with Pam Bondi and Jeanine Pirro and Dan Bongino to pat themselves on the back that they've solved the crime and he's arrested the next day. It's a little bit too convenient. And remember, the exact same thing happened with the revelations that Tucker Carlson made about the assassin in Butler, Pennsylvania. It was like, because I tweeted out at the time, because Tucker Carlson, you know, exposed all this stuff and the lack of information and the inconsistent messaging we were getting about it. And Kash Patel came out and said, actually, let me tell you what we've been doing. You know, we've interviewed this many people for this many hours and we've been, you know, gathered this much evidence and connect all these things. I'm tweeted at the time like, yeah, you should have done this before the podcaster scooped your story. This doesn't look good now. This doesn't look like transparency now. This looks like your hand is being forced. This looks like you're desperately scrambling to cover up information that an independent civilian released. Come out with this stuff before, and we won't have to have the bombshell revelations coming from Tucker Carlson. If the FBI was actually giving press conferences about this stuff, nobody would have any questions. So the first question about this pipe bomber is, why now? Why did it take so long, and why is this timing so very convenient to covering up the revelations from The Blaze not too long ago? Now, The Blaze has retracted that story, but I'm not sure if they've given a reason why. There's been no lawsuit against them so far. And the way they landed on their suspect was at least in part by a gait analysis. Your gait, your walking gait, the way that you walk, very distinct. And it's one of the ways that AI identifies people. It's like an advanced form of facial recognition. They actually have a lot of advanced forms of facial recognition, up to and including, you know, lasers that can read your heartbeat and identify you by your heartbeat, because everybody's heart beats in a particular way that you can, you know, figure out by long distance auditory surveillance. It's pretty advanced stuff. But so they investigate the gait of the person, claim it matches 98 or something percent to this woman who has other associations that would make her a person of interest regardless. And that's a big disconnect from whoever this guy is, this David Cole Jr., I think is his name. He seems to have a very particular physicality, possibly in part because of his mental issues. People calling him severely autistic, and other people saying that he had distinctly short legs, apparently. There's pictures of him, and it does look like his legs are pretty short, and basically the neighbors are saying, yeah, he like walked with a limp, like the way he walked was very distinct because of his sort of, you know, physical maladies. Brian Cole Jr. apparently spoke to law enforcement officers for more than 4 hours after his arrest. Again, he was apparently severely autistic. The prosecutor did not elaborate on what Cole said to investigators, but two people familiar with the matter told the AP he confessed to planting devices on January 5th, 2021. Cole also indicated that he believed conspiracy theories around the 2020 election that President Donald Trump had insisted was stolen and expressed views supportive of Trump, said the people who are not authorized to discuss by name an ongoing investigation on the condition of anonymity. That brings up more questions. Why would a Trump supporter plant bombs to disrupt Trump's last-ditch effort to gain the presidency? Everybody knows they've tried to obscure it since it happened and even before, but everybody knew why we were going to January 6th. Everybody knew what the point of going to January 6th, going to D.C. on January 6th was. It was to encourage the Republicans to object to certification and get a 10-day investigation. Probably said that 1,000 times on this show. But everybody knows that's what it was about. Why would a Trump supporter want to disrupt that? Why would a Trump supporter plant bombs if it's going to be a giant Trump event? You're most likely to kill Trump supporters. None of this adds up. None of it makes any sense. Like, looking at it logically, it is completely nonsensical in like a thousand different ways. And we went over a lot of the questions we had yesterday just about why he would, like, they were found 15 hours after they were planted. Did he put a timer on for longer than 15 hours? How is that even possible with an egg timer from the photos? So did the bombs fail to explode? They were supposed to. Why didn't he go pick them back up or go, prime them? But we didn't even get into the other stuff that had been, revealed about a month ago. Things like the video footage of the police officers after they'd been warned that a bomb was found at the RNC. Two officers were sent out to find the other bomb that they somehow knew was there, went directly to the place where the bomber had been sitting for an extended period but had not planted the bomb, and then went directly to the place where he had planted the bomb but did not follow any of the normal, requirements or processes when you come in contact with a bomb. Didn't call the bomb squad, didn't clear the street, did nothing like that. We're like handling the bomb that apparently they thought was live. None of this adds up. Sorry, it doesn't make any sense. And again, the thing that makes the least sense out of all of it is, why would they not arrest this guy at some point in the intervening 5 years? Yeah, I'm personally completely and utterly dissatisfied with what we've learned so far, and I don't know anybody that is satisfied. I mean, I genuinely have not seen anybody online act like they're convinced by the story that's being told. And that includes Grok. They ran it through Grok, and he basically ran the facial recognition, ran the scans, one of the most powerful, certainly the most up-to-date AI there is out there, basically gave this a 0% chance of actually being the person. He's got all of the indications of a patsy, I guess we could say. I guess that would be one way of putting it. So I guess we'll wait. We'll wait to find out more about it. But again, the timing is utterly too convenient. The motivation they're saying that he had doesn't really add up that much. Again, so Trump has the election stolen from him in 2020. All the investigations get scuttled and not allowed to move forward. All the protests get basically ignored, all of the outrage, all of the affidavits from the people who witnessed with their own eyes the stealing of the election were all discarded. It all comes to a head on January 6th, where Trump invites his followers to go to D.C. to lend their voice, lend their support, because, of course, and the reason why this made sense at the time was because the media downplayed the concerns about the election so much. Because if you were a congressman, let's say, if you're a boomer that gets all of your news from Fox News and CNN, you were probably under the impression that there was a very, very small number of crazy idiots who thought the election was stolen and everybody else knew it was not just legit. Remember, they say the 2020 election was not just fair and accurate in the vote count, but that it was the most accurate election that had ever been held. Yeah, that's how far they went. So if you're a congressman who has a opportunity to object to the finding of the elections and the Electoral College decision, if you were getting all of your news from Fox News and CNN, you were under the impression this was a vanishingly small, obscure, fringe minority that wanted this. Well, when a million people show up to Washington, D.C., that sort of shows you that it's a bigger deal than the mainstream media is saying. It shows you how many people in America were upset about the election. Not everybody that was upset could go, obviously. Maybe a tenth, right? Maybe one out of every 10 people that thought the election was stolen would actually make the effort, had the time and resources to go to Washington, D.C. So if a million people show up there, it's a signal to the congressman that tens of millions of people in America want you to do this thing. And so maybe it's because the guy's autistic. Maybe that's the catch-all, that it's just like, of course nothing he did makes any sense. But why would you plant bombs the day before the last-ditch effort to put Trump in office? Why? Why would you do that if you want Trump in office? That just, sorry, doesn't make any sense. Why would you target the RNC and DNC in particular? That doesn't make any sense either. Nothing about it makes sense. And I guess that's the takeaway. I guess that's If you want one thing, the headline is, what? Doesn't make any sense. This is ridiculous. What is this? Far right's fixation on January 6th pipe bomb suspect reaches FBI's top ranks. When was this from? I can't see the top. What's the date on this? Is this a new article? Or is this a while ago? That is such a funny way of portraying it. November 13th, 2025. They're like, why are they so obsessed about finding the bomber? The people that went on a multi-year crusade to identify every single woodworker and plumber that wandered through the Capitol high-fiving the police are wondering why we're so obsessed with finding the one person that actually planted bombs that day. The one person that you could actually point to as trying to commit some sort of devastating violence, if you believe the official story. I don't, personally. I don't. Why did it take 5 years? Why did it happen just a week after Steve Baker's expose? Why would a Trump fan mess up his last chance at becoming president? Why didn't the bombs go off for 15 hours? Why didn't he go collect the bombs? Were the bombs actually geared up and ready to go? Did he actually make them? Again, these answers are lacking. Why did the police go directly to the spot that the bomb was planted if they had no foreknowledge of it? Why didn't they treat it like a bomb? Why didn't they call in the bomb squad or, you know, evacuate the buildings immediately before going and messing with the bomb itself? Why did the suspect wave at police on camera while walking around with multiple homemade bombs? Explain that one to me. Why didn't they clear the area and call the bomb squad? Why does Grok say it's not the person from the video? Why? Why any of these things? What is going on? And will we get answers to any of this? Cole, wearing a tan-colored jail uniform, appeared in court earlier today. He answered a few routine questions from the magistrate during Friday's brief hearing. Relatives of Cole attended the hearing and called out words of encouragement as he was being led out of the courtroom, shouting things like, "We love you, we're here for you." Defense attorney John Shorman declined to comment on the charges after the hearing, saying that they're still in very early stages. An FBI affidavit says investigators identified Cole as a suspect through analysis of credit card charges related to the purchase of pipe bomb components, information from cell phone towers, and a license plate reader. Nobody was hurt before the bombs were rendered safe, but the FBI says both devices could have been lethal. And I just want to know, why didn't they go off for 15 hours? What type of bomb is lethal and functional but doesn't go off for 15 hours? What type of bomber, what type of person planting a bomb maximizes that time? As we talked about yesterday, the only time in this process where your plan can be discovered and foiled, why do you, like, that's the time you want to minimize. Why was it 15 hours? Wild coincidence. J6 bomber, pipe bomb suspect is mentally simple. His father, also named Brian Cole, worked for civil rights lawyer Ben Crump, who is a close personal friend of Pam Bondi. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but it seems like he's a patsy. It seems like a setup. It seems like an act of desperation, because it seems like, say, Steve Baker was at least getting closer to the truth than anybody had before. That's my take on the pipe bomber. I guess we'll wait to see how the trial unfolds, but I, for one, am not buying it, and that's basically all I can say. Basically, what I can say is I don't know what the truth is. All I know is I'm not buying it, and as bad as the FBI is at doing what they're supposed to, or even worse, at covering it up, it's completely insane. We'll be right back.
You are beyond insane. If you don't support us, if you don't support this broadcast, I mean, I'm being honest, it's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. The point is, shouldn't do it anyways. The point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality, service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, everything else is insanely good. And we got the biggest sale in the history of the olive show store.com right now, running until Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free. All the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody, anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the life feeds.
Looking at? Do you have a problem?
You are the backers of this operation. You are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So as all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, that now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war and their plans for insurrection, their plans for military coups, just to sound scary. And then now, if they're openly calling for it, U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them, and it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. We're getting more information about this alleged pipe bomber, Brian Cole Jr. A relative told WUSA9's Katie Lusso, quote, he didn't do it, saying he's, quote, more like a child. Okay, so it was a child pipe bomber, mentally. Doesn't make any sense. So a lot of times, if you want to find out the truth about this stuff, you got to go to the local papers. Look, our crew was on this and found this report from people who talked to neighbors and relatives of Brian Cole Jr. And again, we're getting some mixed messaging here. They say they re-examined all the pieces of evidence. Apparently, there was no new evidence that brought this arrest about. It was evidence that they'd had for 5 years and just never acted on. Okay, why? Add that to the list of questions. Submitted a day before Cole's arrest, an FBI affidavit gives a summary of the evidence while also revealing some information about the suspect. Debit and credit card purchases, a checking account, and six credit card spending reports show Cole allegedly bought materials between 2019 and 2020 to build the pipe bombs planted in Washington on January 5th, 2021. Okay, so he was so mad. He was so mad about the stolen election that he bought pipe bomb material a year before it was stolen. That's incredible. He was so angry that the Trump campaign was screwed out of the election, that a year before it happened, he was somehow psychically prepared for that. That doesn't make any sense. I'm just going to keep saying that. I'm just going to read the evidence and then reassert. It doesn't make any sense, actually. Actually, no. According to the FBI affidavit, brand name galvanized pipes, end caps, 9-volt battery connectors, and kitchen-style timers were all listed by the FBI as items that Cole bought, all of which appeared to match components of the pipe bomb left outside Republican and Democrat headquarters. Cole's cell phone reportedly had 7 data session transactions with cell phone towers in Washington between 7:39 and 8:24 p.m. on January 5th, 2021. According to the FBI reports, the towers that Cole's phone interacted with covered areas that included the DNC and RNC headquarters. That's interesting. Because obviously you can get a lot more specific cell phone location data if you have access to the phone. You can get it down really to the, within 5 feet or so. There's interesting, the case of the Boston cop that was found outside in the snow. Well, what was that? Y'all know what I'm talking about, crew? Huge story this year where the girlfriend was accused of running him over with the car. And if you watch that case, it was really interesting the way that they were talking about cell phone data and tracking data. And I guess the guy had either an Apple Watch or a Fitbit. And you can really get down to some granular information where they're trying to justify it. They're going, okay, if he was on the doorstep of the door at this point, but then within the next 30 minutes, he took 85 steps, where could he have gone in those 85 steps? I mean, they can really zero it down. I guess since he just got arrested, they haven't had access to his cell phone yet, so maybe they could get more information from that. But if you're getting information from cell phone towers, all it gives you is the cell phone tower. And the only way you can really pinpoint it is if you have multiple towers and you can find where they overlap. And if they're connected to both at the same time, yeah, it was this one, Karen Reed, the Karen Reed trial. That was an interesting one, and there was a lot of talk about cell phone location in that one. And it really, again, showed you that you could, like, especially if you have a Fitbit or any sort of, but I mean, most phones have it too. I mean, you can tell the elevation, how much they moved, how many steps they took, you know, where they connected to Wi-Fi, where they tried to connect to Wi-Fi, where just Wi-Fi was detected, where a Bluetooth, you know, thing was detected. I mean, they can really get down to the nitty gritty. So we don't have any of that. But if you're just going off the cell phone tower, it's just the range of the cell phone tower. And there's something called a handshake that happens if you're moving the cell phone tower. There's always going to be overlap. And when you're in that overlap, it takes like 10 or 15 seconds for one cell phone tower to hand off to the next. And it happens during that overlap time, so you never actually, you know, are out of contact for any period. So I guess that would be another way that they could, you know, isolate down if he's connected to two towers at once and they only overlap in this small area, then he had to have been there. But I don't, I'm still not buying it. But I'm still not buying it, actually. But the whole reason I'm saying this is because, you know, when they say that, you know, it was discovered because of the tracking movement of his cell phones, they don't mean that they have him moving right where the bomber was. They just have him in the area of the cell phone tower, basically in Washington, D.C. during this time. That's what they have, not an exact match of where he was exactly going. The Times listed in the FBI report matched timestamps on the surveillance footage that shows someone planting bombs at political party headquarters and walking around in surrounding areas between 7:34 and 8:18 p.m. So they used the debit card purchases, the cell phone data, and a license plate reader about 20 minutes before surveillance footage first captured the pipe bomber. The FBI report alleges a license plate reader scanned Cole's car plate when he got off at I-395 South onto South Capitol Street, less than 1.5 miles from those areas surveillance cameras from the footage that we've seen. Cole had reportedly been in the area of the attempted pipe bombing in the weeks leading up to January 5th, 2021. According to the FBI, Cole ate at a restaurant in the area on December 14th, 2020. Okay, I have more questions about that. Again, it's a little bit, so was he scouting these areas, do you think? So in the weeks leading up to the bombing on January 5th, he was in Washington, D.C., around the area of these buildings, getting lunch. Okay. Was he getting lunch with anybody? Was he meeting anybody there? Perhaps, were they maybe doing a dry run? Were they doing what I described yesterday, fulfilling and checking the boxes on the legal process? Are you sure you want to do this? Are you really sure? Now, you're absolutely sure, right? You don't have to do this. Remember, they have to ask three times or else it's entrapment. If they're being set up by the FBI. Now, one of the reasons why people are pointing towards the possibility of the FBI being involved in setting up some sort of false flag attack is because the person that was put in charge of the pipe bombing investigation is Stephen Dantorno, who was the head of the Whitner kidnapping hoax, in which the FBI themselves set up a fake crime, got a bunch of people to go along with it, or, you know, unwittingly or unwillingly, or it was a giant scam, basically. It was people that never would have done anything unless they were goaded on and propelled by the FBI to do this, total entrapment. And the person that ran that utterly embarrassing, humiliating, and failure of an operation was then promoted and put in charge of the January 6th pipe bomber investigation. Pretty interesting. From @real_RobN on X. Never forget that the guy in charge of the pipe bombing investigation, Stephen Dantorno, head of the DC FBI office, was also in charge of planting evidence in the Trump Mar-a-Lago raid and use of deadly force. In other words, Stephen Dantorno, who was in charge of the pipe bomb investigation, was also in charge of the FBI investigations into Trump for classified documents, January 6th, and the Whitmer fednapping hoax. He was kind of like the FBI's version of Jack Smith. Just, hey, you're now in charge of everything we're trying to destroy Trump with. Because you had such a massive success with your operation to stop the domestic terrorist kidnapping Gretchen Whitmer. The hoax that the FBI started, recruited people, and then discovered and broke up. Julie Kelly, never forget that the guy in charge of the pipe bomb investigation, Stephen Dantorno, head of the DC FBI office, promoted after heading up the Detroit FBI office during the Whitmer fednapping hoax. Part of that hoax also involved a similar plot in Virginia. It's just very suspicious. It's just all very suspicious. The D.C. pipe bomber suspect worked for a bail bonds company that tried to free illegal immigrants and sue the Trump DHS, and they hired a Black Lives Matter associated lawyer to represent the company in that. His father, Brian Cole Sr., owns this bail bonds company. I guess, Brian Cole Jr. worked there. And this, of course, would, again, make you question whether those people were really Trump supporters. If they're defending illegal aliens and they're hiring BLM lawyers and they're suing Trump's DHS, but they voted for him and cared so much about it that he was going to bomb people. He was going to kill people. He was going to murder innocent people. He felt so strongly that the election had been stolen, even though he started planning this apparently years beforehand. He was so mad he was going to kill people, but also they hire Black Lives Matter lawyers and are suing Trump's DHS. Okay, sure. I believe that because I'm an idiot. Cole Jr. worked at a bail bonds company run by his father, Brian Cole Sr., that worked for to free illegal immigrants from ICE facilities. Just weeks before Cole Jr. allegedly planted the pipe bombs, a court ruled against his lawsuit lodged against the Trump administration, the Daily Wire reported. Statewide, one of the company's names, Cole Jr. and his father, worked as bail bondsman for, sued the DHS over treatment of illegal aliens. On November 10th, 2020, the U.S. Court of Appeals in D.C. ruled that a lower court had been right in throwing out all of Statewide's claims. Around a year later, Cole Sr. and attorney Benjamin Crump, who also represented the family of Trayvon Martin, called for a federal investigation into a Tennessee prosecutor who'd raised questions about a bail bond company run by the Coles. A 2021 report from WPLN stated at the time, a minority-owned business says Assistant District Attorney John Zimmerman had discriminated against it because of one owner's race. Now they want a federal government to find out if there's a larger pattern. Okay, so minority-owned, black-owned business doesn't get a contract of some sort, says it's because we're black, and hires Ben Crump, who's a well-known Black Lives Matter lawyer, to defend them. Okay, yeah, maybe this is all the case. Okay, I just don't think so. I just don't believe it, actually. It's also convenient that they were able to find this guy without having to give up that $500,000 reward for it. Remember, they upped the reward from $100,000 to $500,000, but luckily they didn't need it. They found him himself. It's fine. They'll keep the money. So yeah, again, we'll see. But all of these various deep state forces with their fingers in the operation really should make you question. From Gain of Fauci on X, what if I told you the same FBI agent who led the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping hoax in Michigan then magically became the assistant director in charge of D.C. right before January 6, 2021? This is Stephen Dontorno again. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I believe I am. We can look into this guy a little bit more. The extremely strange timeline of former FBI agent Stephen Dontorno on January 6th. He was Detroit, Michigan's top FBI agent and then led Governor Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping sting or hoax, as many people refer to it. FBI Director Christopher Wray was then praised Dontorno and his team for carrying out the plan. And then just days later, Wray promoted Dontorno to the head of the D.C. field office. The timing of this is very interesting to pay attention to. Dontorno was promoted on October 13th, 2020. This is right before the 2020 presidential election and just a few months before the events that happened on January 6th. He was officially the FBI's director in charge before, on, and after January 6th, 2021. He asks, was Stephen Dontorno responsible for what we now know were nearly 300 FBI agents that were present on January 6th? Here are the words of Dontorno from the official FBI briefing following January 6th. He thinks the American people... he thanks the American people for providing many tips on their fellow citizens. He was particularly grateful to the people who snitched on their friends and family members. Oddly enough, after his prominent roles in both the Gretchen Whitmer sting and January 6th, Dontorno was then magically heavily involved in the Trump Mar-a-Lago raid. What a coincidence. He tried to throw Biden's DOJ, strangely enough, he also tried to throw Biden's DOJ under the bus for pushing the FBI to do this. But apparently was involved in it. You won't be shocked to find out that Stephen Dontorno abruptly decided to resign from the FBI and join the private sector, right as congressional Republicans prepared to launch a probe into the Bureau. He essentially vanished from the public since this has happened. But now, of course, his name is being brought back up as is just a little bit suspicious. Just a little bit suspicious that the guy that ran the, you know, hoax operation exactly like we've been describing, like I spent a while describing yesterday, the way the FBI recruits people and pretends to arm them and then pretends to bust them. That's what he did with the Gretchen Whitmer hoax. And then immediately was moved to DC where he oversaw January 6th and this pipe bombing. How very, very convenient, isn't it? It really is wild. Stephen Dontorno, FBI ex official, confirms to lawmakers Bureau had human sources in place on January 6th. This story from September of 2023. When this was revealed, the former FBI official has told the House panel the agency's Washington field office learned that FBI informants were involved in the January 6th Capitol riot. So now we know, right? Now we know there were at least 300 there. It's kind of interesting sometimes going back to the way this stuff was covered before the facts were released. So now it's not really questionable. They've admitted there were hundreds of FBI agents undercover during January 6th in the crowd. Back in September of 2023, we didn't know that. And so it's being treated as if Stephen Dontorno was unaware that the FBI was there on January 6th, that he's just discovering it. Isn't that interesting? During the interview, Mr. Dontorno testified that the WFO learned after the 2021 riot that there had been confidential sources from other field offices in attendance and that other informants participated on their own accord. Oh, really? Because we now know that hundreds of people were ordered to be there and were undercover as official FBI confidential human sources. But they lied about that. Mr. Jordan asked, Jim Jordan asked back in 2023, so you now know that there were confidential human sources that the FBI knew ahead of time were going to be there on January 6th and were also some unknown confidential human sources who on their own accord decided to come on January 6th. Mr. Dontorno replied, that is my belief, yes. Okay, so he's lying. He's lying about that. Unless somehow he didn't know about the hundreds of people we have now. So it just seems like we sort of know all the people involved in all this. Again, it's not a coincidence to me. Doesn't seem like a coincidence that you have Dontorno and Jack Smith both seemingly involved in a lot of the same stuff. Both seemingly deliberately put in charge of those things. And put in charge of all of the things. I mean, it would make a lot more sense if you had Jack Smith going after one thing and some other person going after something else, or Stephen Dontorno does the Gretchen Whitmer kidnap hoax. Like, the actual outcome of that should have been he resigns in disgrace, or perhaps was charged for, you know, misappropriating or misusing federal law enforcement material, not to stop a real crime, but to create a fake crime in order to, you know, promote the narrative online and in the media that Trump supporters were violent and crazy domestic terrorists that were trying to kill their political opponents. All very coincidental. From the conservative treehouse, wild coincidence, J6 Palm suspect is mentally simple. His father, also Brian Cole, worked with civil rights lawyer Ben Crump. This story is from the conservative treehouse, where, again, they just go through a lot of the suspicious activity of this. So, again, that's all the information we have. We can move on now. We don't need to spend the whole show on this, but it just smells like another cover-up. Just seems like a really blatant, kind of insulting setup from the FBI. Like, they don't even have to try that hard when they lie to us. Like, we're all idiots that are just going to believe whatever they say. It ain't happening, and we're not falling for it. Now, I got a lot of other stories to cover and videos to get to, that sort of thing. I want to go to, Steve Urkel.
Did I do that?
He's entered the official plea of, did I do that? Guilty or not guilty? The whole thing's ridiculous. Of course, Urkel wasn't retarded. He was smart. This guy's just got glasses. The very good news that I have to deliver for you today is that the hepatitis B vaccine will officially be removed from being injected in your child a minute after they're born. CDC vaccine committee ends recommendations that all newborns receive hepatitis B shots. After contentious debates and three failed attempts at a vote, a federal vaccine committee decided on Friday to end the decades-long recommendation that all newborns be immunized at birth with against hepatitis B, a highly infectious virus that leads to chronic liver disease in most infected children. The vote was a victory for HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has sought for decades to overhaul the childhood vaccine schedule, but the divisiveness and dysfunction of the committee in making the decision raises questions about the reliability of the process and left at least one critic, quote, very concerned about the future of the CDC. All right, we might have to do some editing of this article, because you see there's news and there's information they present to you, and then there's the framing devices around that information. So that last paragraph, basically framing, that's it. It doesn't actually mean anything. The vote was a victory for Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has sought for decades to overhaul the childhood vaccine schedule. That's the information that actually gives context to what we're witnessing here. Then we can just delete this. But the divisiveness and dysfunction of the committee. So this is just like their opinion. Nobody knows, you know, how functional this process was anyway. I mean, basically, because there was a discussion, they're acting like this was dysfunctional. Because they didn't just immediately rubber stamp and approve whatever vaccine was put in front of them under whatever justification and whatever safety standards. Because it didn't just go through without a question, without a blip. It's contentious. It's raucous. It's out of control. We don't even know if the CDC should exist anymore at this point. Totally absurd. I want to go to one video of the discussion during, you know, the CDC's decision-making process. This was a scientist, again, just laying out in a way that's easy to understand. And like a lot of times, it can get so frustrating with how absurd all of this crap is. You just want to like yell and just be like, they're killing babies. And just like they're injecting you with stuff that's for druggies. And you just want to get mad and yell about it. This isn't something we need to get mad and yell about. It's something you just need to present factually, calmly, convincingly, and move on. And that's what this guy does. So I love to see it. Let's go to clip 23 here. Just talking about the absurdity of this decision that you expect parents to make to inject their newborn child with hepatitis B vaccines when it's completely unnecessary and the safety and efficacy has never been established. Let's watch.
The factual reality is that these were approved in based on outrageous criteria. And specifically, when you think about the safety, it's outrageous criteria. As a father and as a scientist, I don't know how we have the courage, based on such slim evidence, to come to parents and tell them that that's okay to give to your zero-day baby, especially when the risk is so low. I honestly don't understand where the courage is. Where does this courage come from? And the question is, if you have a safety culture, is not if there is evidence of harm, but is whether you know you're quite sure that there is no harm. And that's a fundamentally different question that we are not asking in the context of vaccines, and specifically in the context of that vaccine. Now, this is even worse, and I don't think we mentioned this so far, but this particular vaccine is a fundamental part of many of the mandates that we currently have in this country. And these mandates can prevent kids from going to kindergarten, and sometimes, I heard personally stories, can prevent kids from getting care in a practice just because they didn't get the Hep B vaccine. So to say that we are giving options and we are having an informed consent is a far-reaching statement that I don't think stands the factual situation. What we're trying to do here is to go back to basic good public health policy that is based on risk, and that is based on informed consent and informed individual decision-making, when parents can think about the assessment of the risk and the benefits and make a decision. And every one of us has a different tolerance to risk. Like if I put myself as a father, I was in that situation 6 times. Some parents will be very anxious, even at the age of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, that their baby might be at risk, and they would feel that they want to vaccinate them. That's okay. That's the right to do that. Some other parents can feel, and I don't think that they're going to be entirely wrong, that you can wait until age of 12 or maybe until they're adult. I think that trying to present an approach like this as something outrageous, immoral, reckless, is absolutely not consistent with personalized medicine, is absolutely not consistent with giving empowerment to patients and their physicians to make decisions. And I don't think that this criticism is very valid. And I'm actually proud that this group of people is actually taking a very different approach.
Really powerful stuff. That was Retsef Levy, R-E-T-S-E-F-L on X, R-E-T-S-E-F-L, MIT expert in analytics, risk management, health systems, food and agricultural systems, manufacturing and supply chain management. Really just bombshell stuff, and it frames it the correct way. It's absurd to say that, you know, asking questions about vaccines, you're putting in a child the day it's born, is somehow outrageous and offensive. No, that's outrageous and offensive. Of course you want all the information for new parents to make the correct decision for their children. We'll be back on the other side with our guests. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It is your last day to enter to win 2 trucks and $20,000 cash. The crossover ends tonight at midnight. Go now.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. I mean, love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, what so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.